Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you're trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence, then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own. He sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lent is all about liberation. Throughout the Lenten season, we recapitulate at a much deeper level the liberation of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh, as Christ leads us through the waters of baptism into the desert of life on that exodus, that Passover, from death into life, from sin into salvation. We also see that liberation in the extrication as we come to our senses to leave the various incarcerations and pigsties of sin all over the place and make our way back to the Father's house. The three Lenten practices are all meant to help us in that liberation. Liberation from egocentrism and hyper-obsessiveness about ourselves in turning to God in prayer. Liberation from our own slavery to our lower appetites and our own ever-growing needs and wants in order through the practice of fasting. An obsession about what we have and a grasping, a slavery to what we own, which in turn owns us, through the practice of almsgiving, by which we sacrifice not just what we have left over, but some of the times what we need for those who need it more. Lent is all about liberation. And today in the Gospel, Jesus describes that process of setting us free. And he gives us three specific ways by which he wants to set us free: faith, the truth, and divine filiation. First, faith. The whole reading begins, "Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him." They believed in him, but as we see, even though they had some faith in him, they were eventually going to join the mob in calling for Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus would have this very tense dialogue later, not with people who didn't believe in him, but people who already did believe in him. But faith is the first aspect of our liberation. Faith, so that we're not walking blind through the various vicissitudes of life, but walking together with the Lord. We see exactly the liberation of faith in today's first reading from the three young men thrown into the seven times white-hot furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship a pagan god, refused to live by idolatry. And King Nebuchadnezzar was outraged. And he asked, "Who is the God who can deliver you from my hands?" So he bound them by the strongest men in his kingdom, sent them in for their death. And as they were being prepared to be cast into that furnace, the three young men said to Nebuchadnezzar, "If our God whom we serve can save us from the white hot furnace and from your hands, O king, may he save us." They were asking for that liberation, if God so willed it. But because they were living by faith, they weren't going to even presume on what God would do. They were just going to entrust themselves to him, which is exactly what faith is. But even if he will not, know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue you set up. And after their miraculous liberation, pointing to what the Lord wants to do perpetually for us, King Nebuchadnezzar was amazed. He didn't come really to faith himself, but he really did see the heroism of these men and the faith to which everyone should aspire. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him, who had faith in him. Faith leads us to liberation, many times in this world, but certainly in the next. And that's the first means of our liberation. But it's not the only one. The second is the truth. Jesus tells us, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's a four-step process Jesus describes to us right there. The first is remaining in his word, living in it, almost in a sense drowning ourselves in it. A lot of the times we Catholics don't remain in his word. We hear it, but it passes out through the other ear. We'll forget, if we haven't already done so, what we prayed in the responsorial psalm just a few minutes ago. It doesn't really remain in us. But on the other hand, because we don't listen to it in as attentive a way with that great soil that God wants to give us. But also we don't make those choices to remain in his word. 2 days ago, Pope Francis passed out 60,000 copies of the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles to those who had come for his Sunday Angelus, because he has been stressing for weeks, take this little pocket gospel, keep it with you, open it up during the day, read it, let the word remain in you. Because he recognized that so many Catholics don't do this. They don't really remain in the word. We're never going to be set free through the truth unless we do. But once we remain in our word, Jesus says, then we will truly be his disciples. We're not his disciples unless we're remaining in his word. I want to repeat that. You, me, Father Nick, we are not his disciples unless we're remaining in his word. That word disciple means student. And the type of student is not just someone who sits in the classroom, but somebody who follows the teachings of the master. We're not really his student unless we're learning from him. And not just learning stuff from him, but learning with him how to live, how to die, and how to live forever. We've got to remain in his word to be his disciple. And once we are remaining in his word and following him as his disciple, then we will know the truth. This word contains truths, yes. But Jesus is talking about something more than that. Those of you who speak other languages, he's talking about konethra, not savoir. He's talking about konyether, not saber. He's talking about konoshere, not sapere. He's talking about the knowledge we have of friends. The knowledge we have truly of another, Adam knew Eve, not the knowledge of facts. It's when we're walking Jesus' walk, when we're walking together with him in faith, through his word, that we will know the truth personally, not just as something in our head, but something in our heart and our whole being. And it's when we experience that knowledge that we're free. That's when we can recognize all the falsities. That's when we're liberated from ignorance about the most important things of all. That's when we won't be able to be seduced by the devil to live a lie. Jesus was speaking to those who believed in him, but who weren't living in the truth. And that's why he gets into this dialogue when they say, we're descendants of Abraham, never been enslaved by anybody. Really? Jesus said, you're trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. You're not giving my word the space. Because you're not living that truth, because you're not remaining in my word, you're actually seeking to kill me. Lent is a time in which we're called to grow in remaining in that word, grow as disciples, grow in our knowledge of the truth, grow in creating space for the truth so that we can grow in that liberation. Jesus, by his resurrection, has nuke-bombed the entrance to our prison cell. It is blown into smithereens. We've got nothing binding us any longer. But we've got to be liberated. We've got to cooperate with him from the seven times white hot furnace of hell. We've just got to get out of the devil's clutches. We've got to follow him out. That's what Lent is about. And the third criterion of freedom Jesus gives us is divine filiation, that we become true sons in the Son, that we recognize that we are the much loved sons of the Father in the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus gives us. And because these listeners were not remaining in the truth of God's word, they were not really living this type of divine filiation. What Jesus says is incredibly strong. They insist that they're descendants of Abraham, that Abraham is their father. But Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham, and the principal work of Abraham was faith. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who told you the truth. Abraham didn't do this. You're doing the works of your father. And so that gets up their gander a little bit. We weren't born of fornication. We have one Father God. Now, very curious. They were trying to get Jesus murdered because Jesus said, God is my Father. And yet here, they were saying God is their Father too. Another illustration how they weren't remaining in the Word of the Lord. We're not illegitimate. We weren't born of fornication. We have one Father God. And Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. Because they weren't loving the one that the Father sent, because they couldn't recognize the image of the Father in the Son. They weren't living according to that divine filiation. And in a passage that the church doesn't give us, which comes immediately after this, Jesus will be very clear about who their Father is. He says, do the works of your Father. You are children of the devil, the father of lies and a liar from the beginning. Rather than living in the truth, they were living in the lie of their father. The devil had enslaved them. The whole purpose of Lent is a liberation. We began in that first Sunday of Lent focusing with Jesus on the temptations of the father of lies. The temptations that he subjected Jesus to in the desert. We're called to learn from Jesus' triumph there how we are likewise called to accentuate a divine filiation and leave no room for any sonship of the evil one. But it really comes by living by a faith that entrusts everything to the Lord, even if we should suffer. It comes from living in the Word of God so that that truth might set us free from the lies of the devil. Remember how Jesus replied to the devil. Those three times he cited the Word of God, which the devil had miscited. But because he knew the Word of God, he was able to recognize the devil's half-truths, which is just one of the great ways that the father of lies tries to deceive us. He tries to deceive us with half-truths. Jesus was able to be set free from those clutches because of his remaining in the Word of God. He remained always that great Son of the Father, teaching us how to live as true children of the light, as ones who have come light from light. in him who is the light of the world. Today, as we come forward here, we remember that every Eucharist is meant to be a mini Lent for us and a mini Easter. We prepare at the beginning of Mass by remembering our sins and entering into that phase of conversion. Then the Word of God is proclaimed to us, not just to entertain us, not just because it's a prescribed part of the liturgy, but so that we might be set free by this holy Word. And then we enter into communion with the truth. We really know the truth in fleshed. Just as Adam knew Eve, we become one flesh with him. But we've got to, in that union, live in communion with him to make us sons of the Son. And if, as Jesus says to us today, if we are truly set free by the Son, then we will be truly free. We make our prayer the prayer of those three young men. Save us, O Lord.